Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, we're going to talk on a bad subject today. Matthew chapter 8. And verse 16. When the eve was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. May God bless his word. Lord, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the Savior that was the word. Thank you that we can come together today, read from your word, learn about our Savior, his love, his greatness, goodness, mercy. Thank you that we can meet with brothers and sisters in the Lord. Help us, Lord, to focus upon you. May our hearts desire a closer walk with you. Give us hearts that hunger for you, to love you, to serve you. And we'll give thanks for all that's accomplished in his precious name. Amen and amen. Talk about an awful subject today, demons. When you see in your King James Bible the word that's in verse 16 there, it says that he cast out devils. That word is demons, literally. Demons are spirits. They're real creatures, folks.
You can
see
in the world around there, demons.
Demons are real spirits. I read somewhere in my studying for today where one commentator suggested there's probably enough demons in this world right now to have one for every person in the world. And there's about 8 billion people in the world today, so think about that many evil spirits in the world. And these evil spirits are fallen angels that were thrown out of heaven when Lucifer was cast out. They're down here in this world today. They don't have no physical body. They're looking for bodies. And we'll be talking about that. These demons are inferior to God, but they're superior to man. They're superior to man. These evil spirits are the messengers and ministers of the devil. He's using them to accomplish his demonic work in the world in attacking humans, because he hates God. And he don't love you either. Amen. These demons indwell humans. Listen to me. Demons indwell humans and animals. They're looking for a body to get into. They seem to be uneasy or restless if they don't have a body to be in. So they're looking for bodies. Now I'll say up front, we'll say again later, if you're not saved, they can enter you. And you can't help it. Paul tells us that. If you're saved, they can't enter you. But they can oppress you. So I want you to listen today. I never spoke on this subject per se. I've always spoke on the devil. It's believed that demons, as I said, are fallen angels who were cast out of heaven with Satan. They rebelled with Satan when they tried to dethrone God, but they failed. Satan is the leader of these fallen spirits who are evil, and they're dangerous to mankind. They're waging war against the saints and against the church. And I think they've stepped up the tempo now, because we're getting to the end of the age. And for other reasons also, one being this, there's less and less Christians in our country. And I'm primarily thinking about our country and not the world as such, but although it includes the world. Our country is not as spiritual as it used to be. And that's why we're seeing so much restlessness in our country today, so much killing and evil. And the state of our country is because of demons that's been let loose. God has let loose his hand, lifted his hand to allow them. There are certain places where demons can be more apt to subdue the helpless. For example, dance floors, bars, gambling casinos, beaches, witchcraft, drugs, pornography, cults, rock and roll music, rap, with its hate and vulgarness, and other places where unsaved people gather at. Demons are likely there to enter into people. So you can be in dangerous places if you're not saved. In 2 Timothy 2:26, Paul said, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Listen to this. Who are taken captive by him at his will. They can just attack you at his will if you're not saved. And the Bible is a lot in the Bible about demon-possessed people. Today, there's much talk about mental illness associated with all this gun violence we got. They want to blame it on mental illness. However, it may not be mental illness as much as demon possession. And they try to blame it on mental illness because some people have got this thing about our weapons they want to take from us. They're just using that. Of course, the authorities are not going that route because it don't promote their agenda. God is being driven out of our society, and Satan and his demons are deceiving people right and left. And the news is this. It's going to get worse. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 32:17, they sacrifice unto devils or demons, not to God. This is Gentiles in the Old Testament. To gods whom they knew not. In the Old Testament, when people were worshiping idols, they were actually worshiping demons, where they offered up sacrifices. And they sometimes offered up human sacrifices. Get that. In Psalms 106:37, the psalmist said, yea, they sacrifice, listen to this, Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto demons. Think about little babies and little children like those over there being sacrificed to demons. Folks, this is real stuff we're talking about. Did you know it's going on probably in America right here? Maybe even in this county, hadn't it? Yeah. What? Imagine people offering up their children unto demons. In the New Testament, there are people afflicted with severe diseases, either bodily or mentally. Blindness, deafness, loss of speech, epilepsy, insanity, etc. Whose bodies, in the opinion of the Jews, demons had entered, so held possession of them to afflict them with ills, but also to dethrone the reason and to take its place themselves. The possessed were able to express the mind and consciousness of the demons dwelling in them. Demons just enter into people and take over their minds. The power of the word is seen in Matthew 8:16, though. In Matthew 8:16, when the eve was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, as our text stated, and he cast the spirits out with his word. God's word is more powerful than the demons, folks. And Jesus sometimes just spoke, and they had to leave. They had to go. Amen? This is our Lord now. We're serving the Lord who's over the demon spirits. Matthew 12:22. What demons can do? Then was brought unto him, Jesus, one possessed with a devil or demon, blind and dumb. That's what this had happened to this man by a demon. He was blind and dumb. That is, he couldn't talk. And he healed him. Jesus healed him. Insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. Jesus has got power over the demons, folks. Amen. And he many times healed people with all kind of ills. And some of the time the reason they were ill was actually because of demon possession. We see in Mark 7:26, a Greek mother pleading for her daughter. Here's a young girl. The woman was a Greek by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the demon out of her daughter. Mark 7:28-29 goes on. And she answered and said unto him, Yea, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her for this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. So Jesus caused that demon to leave from her little daughter because she had faith. She had faith. And that was something strange, that this Gentile had a lot of more faith than some of the Jews did. Amen. I want you to turn in your Bible to Mark 9. We're going to read an extensive piece of scripture. Mark 9, look at verse 17. Here's a father with a son that had a demon. Let's read this account. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. See, these demons can react with people, cause people to react differently. All of them don't treat you the same way. Because these demons are different too. And some of them are more powerful than others. They had different ranks, just like someone in the army's got different ranks. Demons are ranked the same way. Good ones and bad demons. I mean, good there's no good demons. I mean, all the demons was in rank, as well as good angels are in rank as well. That's what I'm trying to say. Oh, my goodness. I was just born that way, folks. Amen. He answered and said, "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you and bring him? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him. When that spirit saw Jesus, he just tore into that little boy. And he fell on the ground, wallering and foaming. And he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child." Ever since he was a little child, he's had this. "And oftentimes he has cast him into the fire and into the waters, trying to drown him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said unto him, "If thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." And when Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto them, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him." And I like this next statement, "Enter no more into him." Don't you dare come back. Amen. And the spirit cried. Boy, what about that? And rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead. Insomuch that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. When he was coming to the house, that the disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast him out?" Jesus said to him, "This kind came forth out by nothing but by prayer and fasting." A lot of prayer, a lot of fasting to get the demon out of that one. And the disciples were not able to do that. But see, here's a little helpless child. A demon had ruined his life. And even as he was coming out of the little boy, look how he one last stab at the boy. They're mean, folks. In Luke 8:12, the demons steal the word. "Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." Remember the man that went out and sowed seed? Good seed? That night the devil went out and sowed tares? Well, talks about it fell on, how those seed fell on different types of soil. And one of the types of soil was it fell on in the hearts of the people. But the Bible says that the devil come along and took the word out of their hearts. People can come to church and hear preaching and, "I'm going to get saved next Sunday." And they go home, but they find an excuse not to come back to church. The devil has stole it away. They knew they needed it. They knew they needed to be saved. "But I'm going to put it off one more day, one more till next week." And next week's don't come for them. The devil steals it. That's why it's dangerous to hear how to be saved and reject it. Because there's a demon there trying to keep you from getting saved. I tell you what, they'll also do this. They'll try to keep you from being faithful to the Lord, too, as a Christian. They'll give you all kind of excuses. The gospel of Jesus Christ keeps demons out and will drive out demons because of the blood of Jesus Christ, folks. It's the blood of Jesus that keeps us safe. Did you know that? It's the blood that's been shed. The blood of Christ, not of any other blood. That's our protection. Let's look in Mark 8. Mark 8. Boy, this is something else. It's familiar, but it's something else. Mark 8, 27. When he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils, plural, long time, and wear no clothes. Sound like he's in this society today, don't he? Neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus?" This is a demon speaking through this man. He's got complete control of the man. The demon recognizes Jesus. You know why? It was Jesus threw him out of him. Amen. "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High?" See, he knows. "I beseech thee, torment me not." Don't torment me. Hey, he was tormenting that man, but he didn't want to be tormented. Amen. "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes he had called him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What's your name? And he said, Legion, because many demons were entered into him." You know how many is in a legion? Huh? 6,000 is in a Roman legion. Think about a man with 6,000 demons in him. He could cut the buck, couldn't he? You see how he was doing this man? He was all cut up. He could break chains. He was super strong. In Mark 8:31, it says, "So the devils," or the demons, "besought Jesus, said, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." Let us go into the swine. They were actually afraid Jesus was going to send them to torment early. That's what they were afraid of. In Matthew 8:33, then it says, "And they that kept them fled and went on their way into the city and told everything what was befallen to the possessed of the devils." Now, Jesus let them demons go into that 2,000 herd of hogs, swine. And when they entered into the swine, it drove the swine mad, and they plunged into the sea and all drowned it. That's how they reacted to demons in them. Wow. And folks, our society today is filled with people with demon possession. Jesus cast out demons and would not allow them to talk sometime. He wouldn't even let them talk. In Mark 1:34, he healed many that were sick of divers diseases. They were naturally sick, but some of them had demons with them. He cast out demons and suffered not the demons to speak because they knew him. Jesus got complete control over demons, folks. And Luke, book of Luke, chapter 11. Listen to this. Now, this is something else scary. Look at verse 24 in Luke 11:24. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I'll return unto my house whence I came out. See, when a demon's out of a person or out of an animal, they're restless. They want something to live in. They want a body. And he said, I will return to the house whence I came out. For some reason, he'd gone out of a person. But he was restless, so he decided, well, I'm going to go back. And the Bible says, when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. The guy had reformed. He turned over a new leaf. He was going to live right, so to speak. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they entered in. But you see, he wasn't saved. He couldn't keep them out. So he took seven more spirits with him and went back into that same person and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first state, because he had seven more demons besides. Pitiful. Pitiful. No defense. When you're unsaved, you don't have a defense. That's what's happened to our country. People don't want to go to church. People don't want to read the Bible. People don't want to get saved. People want to have a good time, do my thing. Besides, God loves me. He wouldn't let anything happen to me. Wait and see. Hell be full of people that God wouldn't let them go to hell. Amen? I'm just telling you the truth. As I've already said, demons can't enter into a saved person. Are you saved? Well, demons can't come in, but he can sure bug you. He can sure oppress you. If we don't stay in the Word, if we don't live right, you can be led down a bad path. Get into sin. He'll get you that way. Ruin your testimony. Make you miserable. If you get out of the will of God. In Mark 16:9, the woman had seven demons. There's a woman that had seven demons. Y'all remember who that woman was? Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. At some point in her life, Mary Magdalene had seven demons. But Jesus had cast them out of her at some point. We don't know when. We don't know a thing about her background other than what we just read. But we know this. She was the first woman, the first person to the grave or to the tomb on resurrection morning. Amen? Boy, isn't that great? She turned out to be a very spiritual woman. You get demons out of your life, get your life straightened out, you can be somebody for the Lord. Amen? You can be used of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 10, yeah, make sure you turn there. 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 20, Paul writes to the church at Corinth. He said to those believers, and by the way, the church at Corinth was immature believers there, baby Christians there. But I say that the thing which the Gentiles sacrifice, the Gentiles, that's the unsaved, when they sacrifice to demons or devils and not to God. See, they thought that those Gentiles thought they were offering sacrifices to God, but their gods was the little g, to demons. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with demons. Oh, folks, listen. There's not but one real sacrifice. It's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He's the true sacrifice. He's the only sacrifice God accepts. Amen? And in Catholicism, when they share communion, they're saying the body of Christ is being sacrificed again. No such thing. That's blasphemous. Christ has already been sacrificed one time. That's it. In 1 Timothy 4, in your Bible, we've read this many times, but just to touch on the high point of what we're trying to say today. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly that in the latter times, that's now, the end of the church age, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to subduing spirits and doctrines of demons. That's the reason we got so many cults today. It's why we got so many churches today with false preachers and teachers. Demon spirits with these false doctrines. There's always a doctrine that attracts somebody. I like what they believe over there. That fits me. Hey, folks, you better let this fit you. Because this is the one that's going to stand the test. Amen? Yeah. God's Word. True doctrine. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved. Here's a doozy. Turn to Revelation right quick. Revelation. Here's some demons that bite and sting. They bite and they sting. In Revelation 9, beginning at verse 2, he opened up the bottomless pit. And there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. This will happen during the tribulation time. After we're gone, thank God. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Think about so much smoke coming out of the pit. It just blocks out the sun and the air. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, demonic locusts. And unto them was given power as the power of scorpions on the earth. And it was commanded that they should not hurt the grass of the field. Scorpions are supposed to eat everything green, folks, but not these. These are different. Neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. If during the tribulation time, people have to take the mark of the beast. And if you don't have the mark of the beast, hey, listen, look what he said. And it was commanded they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing or any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God. If you haven't been saved, you're going to be in bad shape in the tribulation time. Because the Bible says it was given unto them that they should not kill, but that they should torment 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. People that's unsaved, they'll be bitten by these demons, and they'll want to die. They'll try to kill themselves, and they can't die. And that'll last for 5 months. Going to be a horrible time, folks. Imagine a woman standing at the sink, and there comes to the window one of them demons in the window to get her. Oh, it's going to be terrible. It's going to be terrible, folks. The Bible says, and the shape of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and their heads were as their hair, were crowns like gold, and their faces as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. Think about creatures like that. Going to come, they can sting and bite. And when they bite you, it's the most agonizing pain there is. You want to die and you can't die. Just can't die. That's going to be like being in hell, ain't it? Can't get out. Hey, folks, this is not a fairy tale I'm reading to y'all. This is going to really happen during the tribulation time. This is really going to take place. They had breastplates as of breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like scorpions, and they had stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew is Abaddon. What a miserable time for people during the tribulation time. You know what Jesus had said? He said it's going to be the worst time in human history. There's been some bad times, but the worst time is yet to come. In Matthew 7:22, Jesus said, many will say to me in that day at the judgment, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name and in your name cast out demons? And in thy name done many wonderful works. Well, Jesus is going to say to them, listen, I never knew you. You're not being born again. I don't know you, Jesus says. You got to be born again. You got to get to know the Lord in this life before this life comes to an end. And only Jesus Christ can give you eternal life. Only He can give you salvation. Our only hope is in Him. God loves everybody so much He sent us His only Son, His most precious and wonderful thing. But when men reject Him, there's no other hope for them. It troubles me that today people don't want to hear. We leave here today, you ride by Walmarts, and you all ride by Lowe's and by Big Lots. And you see all the people that's worshiping there today. While church is going on. It's sad. It grieves the heart of God who allowed His Son to suffer so to rescue men, and people don't appreciate what God has did for them. But they want God to bless them now. Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. I want this. But they don't want to serve God. They don't want to serve God. With the decline of Christians in our country church, less and less church attendance, the spiritual temperature makes it more and more prone for demon-possessed people. Road rage, shootings, robbings, violence, because of our godless society today. The stage is being set for the rapture of the church at any moment. Wouldn't that be wonderful if it happened while we're here at church? Wouldn't that be the time to go? I'd love to be standing here right like this and swoop, we'd be gone. Amen. I'd have a Baptist fit, sure as the world. Amen. I tell you what, folks, I believe all this stuff myself. Personally, I think we're seeing a judgment of God because our country has rejected God. Our country has rejected God. Jesus cast out demons by his word, and he told his disciples that some demons require prayer to drive them out. Folks, with all the drugs today, with the kind of music, excuse me, I made a mistake right there, with the racket they call music today, it's so vulgar. With our public school systems and universities, they've took God out. Faye and I was listening to something on YouTube this week where these two people are scientists. They're studying about is there really a God that made creation? And yeah, I mean, that's been one of the big things over the years. People studying the stars and trying to figure out how it all happened, you know, this. And some of them have about come to the idea there must be a God, the way everything's designed. Well, all you got to do, folks, is look, because the heavens declare the glory of God. And then this old book tells us about God, folks. And educated people about to determine that there's a God. What a revelation. Oh, my goodness. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Christians, be strong in the Lord. You're his witness. Amen? You're his witness. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil's going to come against you, church members. You hear me? You Christians? You're not going to just lope along here free. You're going to be attacked. The devil's going to be plotting against all of us. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, if somebody says you're a low-down rascal, listen, it's not that person telling you that. The devil is using them to tell you that. You see, listen to what he said. We're not wrestling against other people. The devil's just using other people, folks. You got to get that mentality. The devil's using somebody else to hurt your feelings or to work against you. So put on the whole armor of God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Talking about demonic creatures, beings, headed up by Lucifer, the devil. And they're coming against the Christians and the church. But what did Jesus say? The gates of hell will not prevail against his church. Amen. 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 We're going to win. But let's be victorious. Let's not be given over to the devil. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you can be stand against the wiles of the wicked one. Therefore, stand, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Folks, we got to live by God's word, or we won't. Or we're gonna have some problems. We got to pray. We got to pray. We got to be faithful. We got to live by this book. We've got to live by faith. We got to keep trusting the Lord. We've got to be on guard. There are demons attacking everywhere. And you can't kill them. Only the blood of Jesus Christ and God's word is the only defense we have. The blood of Jesus. Plead the blood of Jesus and God's word. That's how we live victorious in this world of sin and sorrow. Let's realize who we are, church. We are God's people. And we're going to win. Amen? The victory is ours. It's already been accomplished because of Jesus Christ. Living God, thank you for this time. Thank you for warning against our spiritual enemies. Lord, help us to live a life to help others realize that something happened to us one day when we confessed we were a sinner and you made us a new person by faith in Christ. Help us to go forth growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. Help us to go forth with humility, Lord, not thinking more of ourselves than we ought to think. And help us to help others to be overcomers, to encourage others, to warn others. And help us all to be reminded every day to keep looking up because Jesus could come at any second. Because, in fact, we are in the last days. As we look at Israel, as we look at the world, and as we look into this old book here that tells us how it would be at the end of the age, we praise you that you'd save a sinner like me. We praise you that you let us be part of the church that has victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. In whose name we always pray, amen and amen. And may God bless all. Today, we invite you to the altar. Come pray that you can live a life that's an overcoming life. That you can live a life that's a victorious life.